On the cover, Ben and Alina are loitering in an electronics store. On every screen of the wall of TVs is the same image. The iconic silhouette of the Protean City City Hall building as it is absolutely obliterated by a laser blast shooting from space.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Windshear, full of hot air and out of time.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 25, The Offer, Issue 3, Appealing Opportunities.
We're going to start with the streets of Protean City. We see people walking along the sort of in the diverse city that it is, different types of colors. It's a very vibrant city of people walking through what I imagine are pretty wide streets. I think it's a walking city. It's a city that it's a little bit of a beachfront city too, and so there are places where people sit and walk. And we zoom in and get a panel of the front of the Gadget Hut. And there's a big, like, in the way that electronic stores do, there's a big TV out front, and it is playing it's one of those, like, talking heads type news shows, and we see, and we sort of, like, punch into that, and we just get this conversation, or, like, snippets of this conversation, and someone on the TV is saying, "This is unbelievable. We cannot allow them to do this. This could not be more clearly a weapon. If we let Calloway launch this into space, they are going to use this to shoot people with energy laser beams from space. I mean, it's basically a laser. They basically admit that. I don't understand why people won't just recognize that this is what they are doing." And then we see some people counterpointing that, and they're just very people very angry about something that is about to happen. And so we turn the page, and the next page is, I think we are in Ramon's apartment.
Okay.
It's nighttime. He is sleeping. And something wakes him up. He hears something rustling or... there's like a thump of some sort.
Yeah.
In the room that he is in.
He's got like that startle awake thing that like he like grabs the sheets and like hurls them to the side and is like up on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
On the bed
or is he next to the bed?
I think next to the bed.
Okay.
And let's get him in like kind of like old man pajamas. These stripy blue pajama pants that are like very like square and boxy and like pretty old man looking. And then just the like a white tank that's like definitely way too tight and is like a little bit see-through and everything. Because of course, like that's,
yeah,
we got to get that Windshear portrayal. And like, yeah, he stands up and he's got like, just like has a hand up in front of him ready to just like blast air
and I think,
whatever problem
I think
there.
We can also see that this is like maybe the evening after or less than a couple, it's less than, yeah, a week. This is like 2 days after we saw him on the train.
Yeah.
And so he's still like scratched up and probably bruised from,
oh, yeah,
from the combat that he got into,
yeah,
in there.
And like he's got, definitely like has obvious sweat at his brow and, like his hair is all mussed up. He is not sleeping well right now.
And seated in I'm imagining some kind of an upholstered chair, like a big beat up old, but comfy chair.
It was free.
It was free. Is the archivist just sitting calmly in your room watching you.
And so Windshear just takes a second and kind of just like straightens out his shirt and I think does grab like a robe. Nah, I don't know that he would have a robe. I don't think he's got the money. He doesn't have robe. He's not robe rich. But he just like looks to where the archivist is and just clicks on the light next to the bed and says, "I did your delivery.
And we are so very close, Ramon Castillo, to the end."
Hold up now. We are even. You told me this job and you get me home.
So the archivist is sitting, kind of like flipping through that book that they have, looking at things, and they stop and they sort of like do the thing where they're reading, pointing their finger along the page, and they stop and they look up at you, maybe for the first time, and say,
"I am a person who keeps their word. You've done your job for me, and now we will travel together through time, Ramon, for I too seek to travel. And so it's time for you to come to me, and the two of us will move."
Ramon looks down to like his bedside table, and he's got a little digital clock there that's like set up, the radio alarm is set up, and he like picks it up, looks at it, and like it's probably like ridiculous.
Yeah, late. It's really early.
And he puts it down and he goes, "We leaving tonight?"
"Tomorrow night."
They tap the book in the kind of like the way that they do before it projects things. And the book projects a newspaper article from tomorrow.
Okay.
Then it just says, it's the Protean City Herald or whatever the major newspaper is. And it just says, "Calloway successfully launches satellite. Big step in energy revolutions." And they're going to say,
"Be there for this launch. We will travel up with the satellite. It is not a satellite. It is my time machine."
Ramon nods at that and like kind of just gestures with his head towards the door. Says, "You know how to get out," and gets back in bed and like grumpily grabs the blanket and pulls it back over himself.
The archivist says,
"There is one final thing that you must be aware of."
They tap the book again and sort of like flip some things, and another newspaper article pops up, and it says, it looks identical to the other one, except it says, local teen heroes prevent Calloway superweapon from being launched into space. Calloway still unavailable for comment." And the archivist is going to say,
"This future is equally as likely as the previous. You have done your task. I will send you through time. But if your friends interfere..."
And Winchester just kind of like starts to sit up and gets just like this furious look on his face for just a second that like really echoes older Winchester. And he says, "Did I stutter when I told you where the door was?"
"Be at the launch, Ramon Castillo, and don't let your friends get in the way."
And then the archivist evaporates.
And he just like leans his head back against the headboard and just like knocks it back a couple of times and grabs his phone, goes to the search bar and looks up messages and gets to his texting app and just like opens up the group chat and then just like puts the phone down and lies back in bed.
Without sending a message?
Yeah, yeah. Because he's got no goddamn idea what to say at this point.
Yeah.
And he's got some hours of sleep to hopefully get his head in place.
So we're going to jump ahead a little in time. Ben and Alina, the two of you are on a field trip.
Ooh.
It's a fun day. You're not at school. Like, you're with your class, but you're not in school, which is fun.
Yeah, field trips are great.
Field trips are great.
And you got a message this morning that was like, "Hey, can we do breakfast?" But you were like already at school.
Yeah, you had to get up early. And so you've been maybe looking forward to this for a little while because this is very cool. Your class has been invited by Sir Richard Calloway himself to Calloway Corporation to witness the launch in person.
Oh my gosh, that's so freaking cool.
Which is like a cool because I don't know, you've probably never seen a space launch up close, but also B, both of you are a little suspicious about Calloway Corporation, I think. And so you've been invited into their space launch center. And I don't want to say that, like, so like there are people in the news who are saying this isn't a satellite. This isn't an energy collection satellite or whatever they claim it is. It's a laser. And like, this would be a really great way to get up close. So you're kind of excited about that too.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, what is going on in this bus? First of all, like who is your teacher? So you're going with some kind of a science class, obviously. Mm-hmm. So who is the teacher for this class?
Miss Lauper, and she is a first year teacher.
Okay, so she's pretty young.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She no powers.
Yeah.
Not really experienced with, this is like the first assignment she could get. That was, you know, a decent paying gig.
Yeah. Okay. And so one of the things, so like she is struggling because she's kind of young and these kids don't really respect her too much because they're high schoolers. So which two kids is she fighting? And I want each of you to give me one kid, one of your classmates, and they're causing her trouble. And so just describe what trouble are they doing, not together, like separately. Mm. And she's trying to like control this class on this bus.
One guy, Jake.
Jake.
And he is incredibly attractive.
Okay.
Blonde, perhaps maybe not. He's not the all-American boy next door. He's more of the troublemaker. He told his parents that he's in band, jazz band, but he
that was
just
a lie.
Smokes behind okay. the school.
So what trouble is he making in this
bus? He's passing out oranges that he has previously injected with alcohol.
Some kind of cheap vodka. Has he markered XXX on the like old-timey alcohol container? How is he like notified? Like, what has he done with a marker on these oranges to signify that they have alcohol in them that an adult wouldn't get?
Winky face.
Yeah.
It's a winky face emoji.
Yeah, it's a winky face emoji.
And then I want another kid. Someone.
Oh, he's got winky face stickers on them.
Okay.
Yes. So there's a girl named Luna. She's got long black hair, very, very pale skin, very heavy eyeliner, big, long, fake eyelashes. She's got like a choker on and she's dressed like all in black.
Mm-hmm. Very goth.
Yeah. And she's just sitting up near the front of the bus, near the driver. And she keeps like reaching around to the front, like with her whole body, like crossing over the line.
Ooh.
With her camera, just trying to take like selfies with the bus driver.
Mm.
Because the bus driver is like super mortician looking. Like,
yeah.
Just like really like sunken Adams Family style,
yeah.
like zombie looking, just like by coincidence. And so this like gothy scene girl is trying to like get an awesome picture with
yeah.
that.
And so Ms. Lauper is trying to like take care of all of these kids. Like she's trying to collect all of these oranges that are coming back. And like people keep grabbing them and throwing them further down the bus.
Yeah. And this is happening on opposite sides of the bus.
Yeah.
Like,
so this is like chaos.
Jake is definitely in the back seat.
The bus pulls up to Callaway Corporation, and you guys have been here before. It's a kind of it's a big campus, but you have gone to the drone hub, mm-hmm. Or drone aviary or whatever we called it, and that's like on one side. We're actually going to a different side because we're going off towards the water, which mm-hmm. is where Callaway has their space launch center. They don't have like a huge center. They really only just occasionally launch one. They're not doing what SpaceX does. They're not launching things for other people. They're launching just for themselves. And this is a really new branch of what they do. So the bus pulls up and this whole like chaos lifts up and tries and starts to leave the bus as Ms. Lauper tries to like shuttle everyone off of this bus and like and move them past. And like out. Ben, tell me why you are the last person to get off the bus.
I threw my backpack. Ben likes to sit in that one seat that's right over the wheel where the wheel well comes up. You could put your feet on it. But his backpack was like stuck. It was wedged in between the seat. And like every time he would have to like stick his butt out to get the leverage to get it right. And then someone would walk by and like bump him back into the seat.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Kind of on like not really against him, but just like get out of my way. Gotta get off the bus.
This is just so dumb
just
now.
A bus full of drunk kids who've been jumping on oranges.
Yeah.
Best field trip ever, Ms. Lauper.
They've got big orange smiles with the peel, and they're just assholes.
A few of the kids, the sticker is still on that peel in their mouth.
So, Ben, as you were leaving to get off this bus,
yeah.
you throw your backpack up on your back after finally pulling it out of the seat. And as you were about to stop, the door to the bus closes abruptly.
No.
And And the bus driver in like all of their like kind of like zombie goth makeup like leans forward and starts fiddling with the whatever the mechanism is that closes the bus and sort of says to you in passing as they're kind of leaned over, they say, "Ben, it's me. It's Timeline." And they kind of like they're like, Don't look up. Just I'm gonna fix this door and you're gonna get off this bus.
Oh man, I'm definitely down at that bottom step. So it's not like I'm standing right next to it. I'm down in that little step wheel with, oh man.
And so that's why they can kind of like, she can kind of lean over and be looking at this mechanism and talking to you.
Okay, why'd you shut the door?
Because I just need to tell you something really quickly. And I think like we have a good rapport and like, I think.
Okay, what's going on?
Timeline is so creepy.
I love that she turned herself into like this ancient old zombie woman to disguise herself.
And she's gonna say, "You need to figure out what this satellite is that Callaway is launching. You've been invited into their thing. It's like Blitz thinks that it's definitely not whatever they say it is. We don't know if it's a laser, but it definitely sounds like a laser. You need to figure out what the satellite is, and if it really is something that's a weapon, stop them from launching it."
Okay, I don't know. There's a bunch of kids here, but like, is Blitz around? Are you going to help out? Can someone else help out?
I'll be working my angle, but it'll be harder for me to get inside. You guys are being invited to the control room.
Okay. Well, let me say, at least thank you for telling me that I'm part of the plan before you've started the plan. This is progress. Who else is here?
And she kind of just looks at you and says, "Alina, if we need help, we can call in more. I can try to call in some backup, but I can't take this. I can't like officially do like I can't take actions here officially. Like the old guard is still like watching. Like someone inside the old guard is watching us.
And you need me to do all your dirty work for you. Yeah, I get it. I'm used to it.
I trust you because you are an up and coming hero." Who's proved yourself.
Thank you. Can I please get off the bus now?
20 under 20.
And then they pull the handle and the door opens.
Thanks. Before you go, should I let you know what's going on when I find out, or do you want me to just make that judgment call?
Obviously, if you can keep me included, I think you have my phone number or you can find it. Let me know. I can be available to help you. But like, obviously, you're there. I trust you to make the right decision. You're a smart kid. And I think she is trying to shift your superior up and your freak down.
Oh, boy. I want to accept that. My superior is already maxed, though.
Oh.
Well, you can take a condition.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sure. I gotta go catch up with the class and gotta find Alina.
Yeah. I'm gonna say some things now. Don't be alarmed. And don't you stay kids fucking around with my bus mechanisms. Get off! Catch up with your class!
You really need to work on this. I just leap off that last step and run to catch up.
And then she closes the door behind. And so the rest of your class. So do you catch up to Alina to tell her what like how does that play out?
Yeah. So I'm sure at this point we're now being
shuttled towards a building,
somehow herded into the building. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna probably like have to run and squeeze through people because it's packing up. But so I can get at least close to Alina, probably next to you or right behind you.
I slow down a little bit to give you some time to catch up.
Okay. You probably noticed that he didn't get off the bus initially.
Oh yeah,
like that's the kind of thing you would pay attention to. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Alina, and I'm sort of whispering this, like no one's really listening, but I'm not just
they're busy throwing oranges at each other.
That's true. Yeah. So, Timeline stopped me. She was the bus driver.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently we're now part of some mission. We've got to figure out what's going on with this rocket thing. And, you know, if it turns out to be something bad, we're supposed to stop it.
You know, what she lacks in specificity, she makes up with in total fuckwittery.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, at least she told us beforehand.
I suppose so. I mean, I mean, it's not like we weren't going to be investigating. It just, I have my own stuff to investigate.
I mean.
How dangerous does she, it's a space laser, isn't it?
That's what people are saying. I don't know. We've got to find out.
Why is it always space lasers with these corporations? It's annoying.
Just normal lasers just don't cut it anymore.
Sorry, James, the Sorry. Editor.
It's good. That's a good moment.
That's a good moment.
And so you are shuttled in. So Miss Lauper finally kind of gets these kids to like stop hucking like peeled oranges at each other and like throws out the rest of them and gets people under control. And you are funneled by some security and some people at the Callaway Corporation into through like an entry hall and into like a big lecture room. It's sort of like half lecture, half auditorium room. And you find your way to your seats and there's a big projector screen that turns on, big TV, and like enormous, like full, like movie theater sized close up of, a gentleman's face. And he has kind of like longer hair and a short beard.
There's a kid in the back seat who like puts his hand up and casts a shadow, like picking the guy's nose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
And so after a moment of the video just being on, like it's weird because it's like clearly a video, but he's waiting. Like they could have just started the video later, but he decided to record some dead time at the front. It's weird. Mm-hmm. And so as everyone sort of settles down, and Miss Lauper's like, shh, and the lights dim a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit. And the man kind of like shifts a little bit, and it's you can't really see what he's doing because it's a close up of his face. And he just says, "Hello and welcome. I am Richard Calloway. Welcome to Calloway Corporation. You have been invited here, students of Protean City High Schools, to witness the historical launch of a Calloway energy satellite. I unfortunately could not be there today to be with you, but as a special treat, I have arranged for Carol Hobbs, the CEO and lead scientist on this project, for working for Calloway Corporation, will be there to answer your questions and walk you through this process. Today is an historic day, and I'm so glad that you, the bright young minds of Protean City, could be here to witness it." And he kind of like waits, like maybe there's going to be clapping, but nobody's clapping. And then the video cuts off and the lights come back up, and a kind of like, so a middle-aged woman, who is, she's very trim and she just kind of looks very like mom-like basically. She has a short haircut, glasses, and a nice business suit. And she walks out and I won't go through exactly, but you guys, would you recognize Huck's mother, John's mother, or at least you recognize the name. I don't know if you've definitely never met her.
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've been hanging out more with John. Okay. So she actually, every time she sees me, she thinks that I'm like dog walking or something. She just doesn't understand why I'm there.
Yeah.
But so she's seen me before and I have said hello to her before.
Yeah.
And she's handed me poop bags.
That's great.
And a 20.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is like, whatever, some cash.
I kept the 20. Come on, man.
So she goes through just a spiel of explaining that what you're going to see today, like she's a little bit checked out. Like she's not kind of like, she doesn't look like she's thrilled to be here. Like this should be something that Calloway does. Like he loves talking to kids. Why isn't he here? And you can tell that she's like very just like put out by this. And so she's explaining that like they're launching this satellite, and like the idea is the satellite up in space outside of the atmosphere can collect energy more directly without interference from the weather patterns and the electromagnetic sphere of the Earth, and and then it can, and then through technological advances that Calloway has been working on, that she has been working on, they can beam this energy down to the planet. And she kind of stops. She goes, "I know that's why everyone thinks that this thing is a laser, and let me tell you, it's not. I can't reassure you enough that it is not a laser. We are collecting energy and we are beaming it to the planet. And that means that we don't need electrical cables. We don't need power stations. We'll be able to provide energy to anywhere on the planet. It's groundbreaking technology, and I wish people would understand that." And she just seems so frustrated.
I lean over to Ben and say, "Oh God, it's definitely a laser."
It's a good panel.
And so I think she's going to continue talking about like some of this, and like maybe they put up some diagrams and some pictures of what the spaceship looks like. And we are going to cut now to follow Ramon.
Okay.
So you were just kind of told show up.
Yeah.
At Calloway Corporation.
You know the Captain America undercover costume that you've got, like the jeans and the kind of generic jacket and the hat pulled down low that doesn't have any logo on it. It's
okay,
that.
Okay, so that's what Ramon is wearing. And so are you going in the front door? Like, how are you trying to enter this building? Like, what's your plan? Because you were not kind of really given
a lot of information.
A lot of information.
Yeah.
You see a bus going, leaving the main entrance.
And I'm supposed to get in, yes, right? So I think there's just going to be like looking at the place, giving a big sigh and shaking his head and just like walking in the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to just kind of walk through with his head down and just sort of walk until someone stops him.
Okay. Pretty quickly, someone's going to stop.
Yeah, probably.
I imagine there's some turnstiles you have to badge through.
Yeah.
That's like you guys, like the kids went through a different entrance because you were with some members of, and ultimately the CEO of the company. But there's like, if you're just going in through the main door.
Yeah.
And so a security guard will like call you over and be like, "Hey, like what's going on?"
And I saw a bus leaving, right?
Yeah. So you know your friends are here.
So I'm going to walk up and go like, "Hey, I'm sorry. I missed the bus. My mom dropped me off like 2 minutes ago. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in like the Calloway Cafetorium Space Center."
Good
at lying.
So the security guard goes, "Can't you just text your friends?"
The guard is going to say, can I get your name to just confirm that you're on the list?
Yeah. I'm Ben Schultz.
And they're going to look at the list. The guard is going to be like, "Sure, kid. That but it looks like Ben's already come in. So who are you really?"
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. I've got my friend Ramon. He's such an asshole. He checks in under my name so I can't get in. Because I'm late. Because like my mom like can't get me to school on time ever. Like he's done this on like 8 different field trips. He's Ramon Castillo. But like if you check me under him, like I can go bring him out and show you.
And so this guard is going to kind of like... Type in your name again, and
he might not be on the list. He joined the school recently. We go on a lot of field trips,
and this guard just kind of like looks at you, and looks at the screen, and looks at you again, and this just like enormous smile comes over this person's face, and I think that it probably hasn't clicked in your head because like you're used to see you like the previously you would have seen them in clown makeup, but
I hate this guy.
But this smile is clearly the iconic punchline smile, and so the guard or the person in guard clothes is just gonna turn the monitor around and point to a picture of you. Where it has your name on, like, there's a list of names, and then they've clicked on Ramon Castillo, and there's a picture of you, and they're just like, "What kind of joke is this? Is your friend your twin?"
"I don't know, but I'm not in on it. Come on, let me through. You're working with the archivist?"
And they're gonna turn the thing back around and be like, just head on down the hallway right there, and then you're going to go off in that direction.
All right. Is there a, like a, are you sending me in with the kids or sending me in?
No.
No, okay.
No. You have a different path today, Ramon.
I, any other day, I would kick your ass. And he just like goes and pushes to the turnstile. He's so grumpy. And he just like pulls the hat down as far as he can go and looks as conspicuous as possible.
Okay. And so they have pointed you down to like I think that there's a bunch of signs that say where things are. So there's like the auditorium is in one direction and like the actual like space launch facility is in one direction. There's a sign for the drone launch and they've pointed you towards the space launch facility.
I'm going.
Okay. And so I think you walk down a series of hallways. Like it's pretty, like once you get in that direction, there's not a lot of like, there's some turns and twists, but there's not a lot of doorways or there's like things that are clearly science labs.
As I'm walking, I've got my phone out and I've got a text message pulled up for the whole group. And like, I'm not sending it yet, but it's written out, "Hey guys, I just want to send you this to explain."
So let's cut back to our kids, the other kids. Ramon.
The real kids that aren't villains.
The real non-villain kids. So Ben and Alina, you have been now, they've led you out of this big auditorium and into what looks like it's a big glass room. And what you can see is, like, it's a big open room. It has more benches and seats and stuff. And there's like a big glass wall between you and what is like very clearly the actual control room, like where they are going to, like there are a bunch of people, they're checking, they're looking at computers, they're reading readouts. And then past them, there's another glass wall. And then outside of the building, you can see onto the bay where there is a rocket being prepared for launch. And once you are moved into this sort of like this glass room where you can kind of look around, they've basically just said like, hang out here. There are some restrooms. There's a water fountain. Wait, the rocket will launch in 20 minutes.
Okay.
I hope we make it.
So what are you doing?
I think Ben and I are on the same page that we want to get out of the room and and look at other things and places and things.
Mm-hmm. So how are you doing that?
I think that I use my telekinesis to tear a hole in Lopper's bag, which had the remaining oranges.
Oranges.
Nice.
So they go scattering out.
Yes. And so in the ensuing scramble, we can maybe slip away.
Yeah. So I think that is enough to distract Miss Lopper, at the very least. And so the two of you will have an opportunity to sneak out of this room. Where are you going? Like, what are you looking for?
I know that I want to go gain access to some inside knowledge. By exploring their computer systems, which is why the last time I saw Mrs. Hobbs, I cloned her security pass.
Yeah, let's just do... Okay, so
unleash
let's
your powers,
just
right?
do an unleash your powers.
Okay.
Roll to unleash your powers, and we'll have a little bit of a flashback.
Okay. 7 plus 9.
On a hit, you do it. On a 7 to 9, mark a condition, or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
All right, I'm marking a condition.
Okay.
I'm marking angry.
Okay.
I'm marking angry because I wanted to check out Calloway's research facility and see if he had any connections, because I think he might be funding some weird stuff with the appointed.
Well, there still might be time.
There's never time for my agenda.
Sure there is.
There's always something.
So yeah, we get a flashback scene from a previous week where like you knew this field trip was coming, and so like doing the thing that the asset taught you to do, you like cloned security badges, obviously. Yeah.
It was just kind of like
it was just there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was just like in her handbag that she had a lock on somehow.
In her bedroom.
Yeah. I mean, it did not even take, you know, it only took the mid-range lockpicking tools to get in. I mean, if she really wanted it secure, she should have.
But had a more serious lock. Yeah,
exactly.
That is entirely on her.
Yeah, that's really her fault.
It was there for anybody to pick and find.
Okay. So you swipe this badge. And so you're looking for like the closest computer facility.
Yeah, pretty much the maybe the closest out of the way.
Okay.
Computer terminal.
Let's see. So I think that there is a like meeting room / co-working space. That's like it's a meeting room. It has a big, like, it has a desk and like a TV with a little camera on it for people to make conference calls. And then it also has like a couple desks with computers at them, because there's probably like an open floor plan office space somewhere because it's a hip tech company. And so they realize, okay, well, we do need some places for people to work privately. And so I think that's pretty close to where you guys are. So you're able to like swipe in there pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely like that conference room. There's probably a glass window looking into it. We can see no one's in there. So I run up to the door and I'm like, Alina, I think we can get into this computer here, but I think the door is locked. Let me just see if I can hack it from this end.
And I go, yeah, here. I actually have something for that. And I just swipe.
And there's a little screen that pops up and you can see the picture of Mrs. Hobbs's face as it like identifies who just swiped through.
Beep.
How did you get that? Did you just steal that from her?
No, of course I didn't. She would have noticed it was missing. I cloned it.
You didn't even need my help?
Hey, man, like, I'm still going to need you to figure out what's going on in the computer. Like, I don't have her passwords or anything.
No, Alina, I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
After you.
All right. We go in, grab the closest laptop.
There's, like, computer set up.
All right. Cool.
Okay. Now, before I try logging into this, you don't happen to have just, you know, a username and password just written down somewhere, right?
No, she's maybe a little bit more security conscious than, I guess, my boyfriend's mother, or I would like my boyfriend's mother to be. I mean, she's a little bit more security conscious than I'd like my boyfriend's mother to be, but...
Hold up. Hold on.
And Alina's ear tip, the tips of her ears just get really bright red. Because,
are you two like official?
I mean, like, I haven't talked to him in like a while, but like, I kind of feel like.
No, that explains a lot. I'm happy for you too. But we've got 20 minutes.
Right.
And I want to cut from there real quick and go back to Ramon.
Ramon is all business. He's walking down the hallway. He's like eyes straight ahead and just kind of hoping that nobody stops him.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, like, because he knows when the launch is.
Yeah.
And so he has a watch that he wears.
Yeah.
And so he's like checking his watch as he walks to make sure.
I think that there are a couple moments.
It's not a smart watch.
It's not a smart watch.
Yeah.
There's a couple moments where like a security guard walks past you and you kind of have this like, you hold your breath and you're like, what's going on? And they just kind of like nod and walk past.
And like each time he passes one, his hand just like makes into a fist.
And so finally you find a room called Astronaut Staging is what we're gonna go with.
Yeah,
like it's something really like obvious that this was the place that you were probably supposed to go.
Yeah,
and so like, how do you enter this room?
I'm just gonna confidently try the door. If it opens, I'm just walking in.
Okay, it definitely opens.
Cool. My understanding at this point is that this goes all the way up, and that I'm gonna. Gonna go all the way up.
There's like one brief moment where you touch the handle and it doesn't move, but then the little screen next to the door plops up with the picture of your face, and then the door unlocks.
God, I hate these guys so much. And like, you could just see how much, like, how distasteful he finds this entire thing.
Yeah.
As he deliberately walks into the room to join his villain friends. As he's coming in the door, he goes, "We're not friends."
And
this feels better now.
That's good. And this technician who is in this room by themselves is just like, "Yeah, I don't know you at all. I don't know why. That's a weird thing to call out, like, as we meet for the first time, though."
Hi, I'm supposed to be here.
Yes, you are. You are Ramon?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to get you prepped for launch?
We're not friends, and I look forward to becoming friends and co-workers.
Okay.
And he goes for a handshake.
Okay. The person kind of just, like, wiggles some, like, gloved fingers that they're in scrubs, and they're in clean gloves, so they're, like, can't touch you, but you should go over there and, like, shower and then change into the space suit, or, like, the undersuit.
I knew that already, so good working with you. And he just turns and walks to go and do that.
Okay. And so the suit that they have provided for you is kind of like it's a black, like, latexy, or not latex, but like spandex. Like, it's some kind of a synthetic material. It has a bunch of sensors, obviously, to, like, monitor your heart and your
God,
and stuff.
I hate this so much.
And it has a whole bunch of, like, clips where on the actual suit things will, like, hook into it.
Okay.
And so it's pretty easy to get into. It's like a one piece, like, big pajamas, basically.
Okay. Yeah. And so, like, he like, there's definitely a little bit of, like, cringing because his shoulder's still all messed up from everything. But he's just following orders and going through with what has to be done to get back.
Okay. So, like, I think that as soon as you come out of, like, and you've put this on, this tech starts to put on. It's not like you get into another spacesuit. It's that they start, like, snapping pieces of, like, the spacesuity looking armor stuff onto the suit you are wearing. And so your hands and head will be free until the very last moment when they, like...
I'm holding the phone and, like, texting while they are putting it on.
Okay. And you are sending that text message, or you are typing a text message?
No, so I'm going to just say what I've typed.
Okay.
And then I don't know how to save a draft, I don't think. So it's going to just be pulled up on the phone, and I'm going to be trying to, like, just not have it visible, I guess. Or, like, I know how to switch out of a window. I know how to switch out of a window. So.
And the tech is not paying attention to your phone.
Yeah. So it's a text that just says, like, "Hey, guys, I wanted to send this to explain. There are villains involved with Callaway Corp. I don't know what they're doing, but it's something with time travel. You've all given me a wonderful place to live and to grow and get stronger and get ready, and I'm not going to be here anymore. But once this is done, you need to stop them. I don't know what they're doing, but it isn't good. Love you guys. Maybe we'll meet again sometime." And he just, like, types that and switches into Twitter, where he's, like, following just dog accounts.
Okay. And we're going to cut back to Alina and Ben. What are you looking for, presumably Ben, on this computer system?
So probably looking for either video footage, like a live feed, possibly. I don't think they would necessarily have anything inside the rocket, but seeing if there's anything like that, or old archival footage from construction or schematics, basically trying to see what was being put into this rocket that's being launched. And there has to be information on, you know, how much it weighs, and then we can backtrack that to, you know, what were the schematics, go back from that, when were they were building it, what did it look like?
Okay. So
backwards from there.
Was there, like, an expected weight and then an actual weight that's different and stuff like that?
Okay,
stuff
so like that. So there are a couple different paths we can go down. And so I'm just going to explain to you like what you can sort of start to see the beginnings of.
Okay.
And then we'll go through and you can tell me what you're interested in following up on. There is, as you're looking for like cameras, like there are external cameras of the live footage right now. There's also live footage from astronaut prep, which you could go to and see, which is a little bit weird because you weren't sure that they were like going to be launching astronauts with this thing, but it's there.
Strange. Nobody mentioned it was a manned mission.
Yeah, you wouldn't normally do that with satellites.
Yeah. There are also some historical records. There's like log files from the manufacturing process. It's a little bit more like just like people checking in, like, but you have to like look in, but it's something along the lines of log files from the manufacturing. There is a schematics file, or there's a path through this computer system that would get you to schematics, but that is a little bit more it's locked behind another layer of security that you don't have like immediate access to.
So we're going to be digging, looking for what is the payload, more towards what is on the rocket and what was built, because you could have a schematic for a Keurig machine. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what they built.
Yeah.
Let's do that and assess the situation.
Okay.
So roll to assess the situation.
And I rolled a 4.
Oh boy.
But I have +3, so it's a 7.
Okay.
Whoosh. Oh wow, you're so superior.
Oh my goodness.
You're very superior.
Wow.
So on a 7 to 9, you get to ask one question.
What here can I use to figure out what is actually on this rocket?
So this is a very high-tech, computerized rocket. So all of the payloads have logs. They all the actual like cargo bays have logs. The actual satellite itself is a computer system that is constantly checking in. And so if you were to like hack the actual rocket, it could tell you what was on it. Like not hypothetically, not schematically, but like literally like everything has to be plugged in, everything has to be strapped down, and it knows everything that's there.
Okay. Cool. Additionally, because I have a criminal mind, ooh, I'm starting to develop this criminal mind. I can always ask one of these questions when I assess the situation. What is the best way in or way past? If I needed to get to the rocket, what is the best way to get into that rocket?
There is a, from where you are, you're in sort of the command center hub, but everything is pretty small, and so everything's pretty compressed. There is a, so there's a big tower that leads up to the top of the rocket that would be like, that it's connected right now. In theory, there isn't a door, but if there were a door, to get in for people to walk over, there's a bridge, and there's an elevator that goes up. But it would, in theory, go up pretty slowly. There is an emergency descent elevator. And if you were to get to the bottom of the tower and then do some technical trickery, you could bring this fast, like, escape elevator basically down and then up. And that would get you up to the top, and then you could run over to the rocket as fast as possible.
Okay, cool. Alina.
Yes.
I'm not really sure if there's anything I can pull up that's going to... that you will want to look at that will help you out.
Okay, so I think I'd like to look at the schematics, and can I assess the situation as well?
So the schematics are behind, like the schematics of like what is supposed to be this rocket is behind security files or like security walls that are probably above what you, like you're pretty handy with computers.
Mm-hmm.
That would be something that Frequency would have to open for you.
Okay. Hey, Frequency.
I'm just sort of thinking, like, as I'm on the computer and you're looking over my shoulder, you can be calling out like that folder, that file, follow that directory.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yes.
So I'd
be like, okay, so where are the plans? I need all of the plans. I need to like actually take a look at this, because where are they?
Okay. So I'm going to try and get into there to open those and get some of the information thrown up on the big screen that's in the room that we use as like the conference room. So you can be like looking at that, like taking everything in while I've still got the actual monitor of the computer working everything, going through the files. And I just keep throwing things onto that big screen. Like, here's another
Before
thing.
Before we get to that, though.
Okay.
So that's your plan.
That's my plan.
Remind me what it looks like as you... So are you sitting here, like, hacking the computer, typing, or using your powers? What does this look like? Especially as you start to hit greater and greater levels of security.
So it's probably a bit of both.
Okay.
So I'm actively on the computer, and I can move a mouse and click things and stuff like that. But for, you know, hacking, it's not going to be Hollywood hacking where someone types a bunch of lines of code and stuff happens.
Alina's not going to help you by also typing on the keyboard.
So that'll be managed. You know, that's using my powers.
Yes. Okay. So as you start to look at these schematics, you are coming up against greater and greater firewalls, or like security systems. Somebody does not like, this is obviously what this actual satellite does is like their hyper proprietary, it's supposed to revolutionize energy science. It is behind a lot of security. And at some point this security kind of like if you are like, I'm not going to get into like the too detailed version of this, what the security is, because I don't really know, but this, at some point, the difficulty level on this of breaking through the security, and like, you are good at this, at some point it goes from like, it's getting harder and harder and harder and harder. And harder. All of a sudden it is impossible. This is like security, the likes of which you have never seen before. It's literally like code you've never seen before. It's in a language you've never seen before.
Okay.
It's very strange. And so when you come up against strange code, you're going to roll plus superior.
Okay.
And then I will tell you what you get to do based off of that.
I rolled a 5 on the dice. So plus 3 makes it an 8.
So on a hit, you gain some vague sense of the inner workings of this security. Even if you don't fully understand it, it's starting to make sense. Like, it's bizarre, but in the way that kind of like programming languages all kind of have similar aspects, like you're starting to see what this is doing. And so I think you are going to be able to maybe not like have full access, but you are going to gain some access into some of these schematics.
Okay.
And then because you rolled a 9, an 8?
8.
An 8. You were going to choose 2 from this list. In poking and prodding around at this security, you activate something you didn't intend to. You alert someone who shouldn't have been alerted. Or like, you alert someone like, basically you trip security. It backfires and you reveal to the computer system something about yourself. Or you realize something terrible about the code, and I will tell you. So which 2 of those do you choose? And I can read them to you again if you want.
Yeah, can you read them through? I think I have an idea. I just want to make sure.
You activate some part of the code that you didn't intend to.
Yep.
You alert someone to what you were trying to do. It backfires, and you reveal something secret about yourself. Or you realize something terrible about the like about what the code is doing and stuff like that.
Yep. It's the last 2.
Okay. You are using your powers. You are deeply tied into this system trying to, this is maybe one of the most difficult security systems you've ever had to try to break. So what sort of thing about yourself, what weakness, what, whatever, like what are you going to reveal to the system?
I was going to say it's probably leaving like telltale traces of how I approach problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there's logs being saved and things like that.
That's
that I'm basically not doing a clean.
Yeah, it's logging attack. your problem solving.
Correct.
Cool.
And so it's not only are there traces that it's someone doing it, it is a very unique thing that if you could compare that to other things, you could figure out that it is frequency.
Yeah,
his style of approach.
Okay. So you realize something terrible about the code. And I think the thing that you realize that's terrible about this code is that, like you sort of speak frequencies, you speak computer languages, you're good with gadgets. You can kind of see how computer languages compile down into machine language and they interact with each other and stuff like that. This security code, which you are sort of beginning to understand some of the workings of, it compiles down to something that is not the machine language of ones and zeros that you are familiar with. It is doing something different. It is doing something alien. It is doing something foreign. It's just like there are aspects of this code, like you are able to like get into these schematics, but you can tell based off of the way that this works is it is so strange and so foreign that there are aspects of it that you will literally never break through.
Mm.
And that's kind of weird. And I think a little bit scary because like, that's what you do. You like, you make machines, you make computers and data.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, this might be a little off topic, but what is your, what is Frequency/Ben's online handle? Like, does he have like a hacker?
Oh man. I don't know, but
think
I'm sure
on that
he does.
And maybe
will,
we should.
I will think of it, but I'm sure he has to. Yeah. Okay, but it's still, I still get through into it.
Yeah. Okay. So I think you're, yeah, you will get through to some basic schematics.
Okay.
So Alina, what are you looking for? So you, presumably these schematics are being thrown up onto the screen.
And probably at this point, are some of them probably like three-dimensional, like almost like CAD files or something like that?
Yeah, so they're drawings. They themselves are kind of weird. They're not the standard diagrams that you were kind of expecting that engineering like models are written down in. They are actually, I think, almost stored in 3D, which is kind of an odd way to do that. But it's just a very like advanced, like futuristic looking schematic.
I definitely project that out of the TV.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So you have all the things on the screen, but floating in front of you.
I'm going to be looking for control panels, like kill switches, anything and everything that I can use to disable the device if I need to.
I think I want you to also roll in a set situation.
It's plus two. 5 plus 2 is 7.
Okay. So you get to ask one question.
What here can I use to disable the rocket?
Okay. Here is what you are figuring out. This satellite is, it's very beefy for a satellite. It's not like just a bunch of sensors and that are just like broadcasting information back down. It has its own like almost supercomputer. Like it, like you can tell through this thing that it's intended to be the brain of some operation, which makes sense. It's supposed to be an energy collection satellite. What is interesting is you can see on these schematics that like what Ben had found earlier, like it connects to the rocket. And it looks like, from what you can tell, that it's intended to actually like drive the launch. Even like it's gonna just do this whole thing.
Okay.
And so your question was, how can you
disable the rocket?
Disable the rocket.
What can I use to
disable? If you could destroy the supercomputer brain of this satellite, the rocket would be unable to launch. Because like it is like there isn't another supercomputer or there isn't another computer on the rocket that is doing the launch. It is just the satellite that is controlling the whole launch. If you decide that you are going to try to destroy or prevent this thing from launching, you need to gain physical access to the satellite.
Okay.
And destroy it.
Okay.
Let's cut back to Ramon. So you are, they've put on more parts of this spacesuit.
Yeah.
And they're preparing you, like they're just cleaning it and making sure that everything is checking in correctly. At one point they check to make sure that all your vital signs are there. And that they're like, there's kind of like a moment where they're like, the guy calls in someone else. It's someone who's clearly more of a medical professional. And it's whatever you're like, your blood is like hyper oxygenated. So they're this is a little bit weird, but it should be fine. Like, and you can hear them talking amongst themselves.
Yeah. My heartbeat is also probably like
elevated,
absolutely elevated right now. But, the only really weird physical thing with Ramon, other than a bunch of scrapes and bruises, is just that his blood has so much oxygen in it.
And it's a little bit weird that you still haven't seen anyone else that you know. Like, you were expecting to jump into a room full of villains here.
Yeah, I expected to be Rogues Gallery.
And you have not hit that yet. And And so they are going to lead you to, they're gonna lead you out of this room.
Okay.
If you are interested in going with them, and start bringing you towards the launch site.
Yeah. And at this point, is anyone telling me like I have to leave my phone or anything like that?
No.
Cool. I'm just following after. Yeah.
Okay. And they get to like the bottom of this tower. But you can clearly see it's a glass hallway. There's a tower. They push a button, the door, and these doors open. And in this elevator is the archivist. Just standing in there, like, straight out of, like, Destiny armor. Like, it's all, like, kind of, like, old. It looks like a knight's armor, but it's all, like, the, like, plastic synthetic materials. They have a cape, and they have their book just, like, by the side of their, by their side. And the two techs turn around without really looking at what's going on and walk away.
Ramon's, like, really hesitant at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looks to the archivist and says, I've been thinking about what you said before about the super laser. Is this a super laser?
It is not a super laser.
And he's going to walk into the elevator, and like he's got his hand like on his phone, and like you can see that his hand is actually like trembling a little bit.
When you enter the elevator.
Okay.
There is one other person who you didn't see.
God damn.
There's a man that I don't think you have seen before.
Okay.
And he is a kind of a shorter, squat man. He has kind of a scraggly beard. He is going to say, who is this young boy? Is he coming to space with us too? And we see the little panel that just says, the Bloodomancer. See the dilettante's ball volume. And the archivist is going to respond.
Yes, he is also traveling through time with us.
And Ramon is like watching. Ramon is watching the archivist very carefully at this point, and just like staring directly at him, and not. He doesn't even look at the Bloodomancer. Like normally, he's very like hyper aware, like attention shifting to any possible threat. But I'm just like peering at the archivist and trying to see if I can. Like, I want to detect lies. I want to see if, like, if I believe that that's what's going down. Can I, like, pierce the mask?
Sure.
Says Brandon, looking down at his stats. It turns out I can't. I'm at a negative two right now. I can. That's a 6 and a 5.
Okay.
Plus 0 for mundane, minus 2 for angry.
So what was that finally?
9.
A 9. So.
Oh, wait. No, yeah, a 9.
Okay. So on a 9, you get to ask one of the following questions. What are they really planning?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? What do you intend to do?
What are you really planning?
What are you really planning? Their plan is to travel through time.
Okay.
So like the fact that the Bloodomancer here is pretty weird.
Yeah.
In terms of the is this satellite really a laser?
Yeah.
The answer is definitively the archivist is planning to do some time travel today.
Okay.
Whether or not they are planning to bring you with them through time.
Yeah.
Is a little different.
Okay.
And I think that maybe you're starting to pick up that something is a little off.
Okay, cool.
Just because the Bloodomancer is kind of sizing Ramon up more than
he's
somebody
kind of,
who's going to be...
In a way that you are just looking at the Archivist,
he's just
the Bloodomancer is just looking at you.
Yeah.
And the Archivist reaches out and pushes the button for the elevator. And the doors close. And let's cut back to Alina and Ben. Where you are still investigating more about this rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I have an idea of what I can do to delay this. Can you pull up the staging area? Maybe we can. I need to get closer to the rocket. Can you pull up the staging area? See if there's security or something.
Yeah, the best way through would probably be through this room here. Click.
And cameras come up of that tower that we were talking about. And there were kind of like the two elevator bay doors. There's like a heavier duty or reinforced escape elevator. And then there is the other elevator. And you can see, like, you catch the elevator doors just barely closing as people are getting into the tower. which I imagine is pretty weird. And as like you're pulling up more cameras from that area, you get a clear elevator, like security camera footage of this armored person who you do not know. Mm-hmm. The Bloodomancer, who you do know, Alina.
Yes.
And Ramon, who you both know.
Yeah.
Standing in his elevator as it begins to rise.
And I send the text.
And both of you feel vibrations in your pocket as you receive a text message.
Hey guys, I just wanted to explain.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at @AndTheMeltdowns. Windshear is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at herlockholmes1. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.